When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Rangers have won the Stanley Cup.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Good beat, Paulie. The marathon continues. RIP Nip. I was blessed enough to be one of the people in the Staples Center when it was still the Staples Center that got to attend the going home ceremony for Nipsey Hussle. Shout out to my sister who lives in West Hollywood. We were going to Coachella that year. We're coming up on, what is it now? 5 years since Nipsey passed? That's nuts, man. That hurt. Yeah, 5 years since Nipsey passed. I believe that was like April 1st, around April 1st, 2019. And we were going to Coachella. And before we drove out to Coachella, my sister was able to get tickets. I've never seen anything like that. Thousands of people outside in LA. And inside the Staples Center, the ceremony for Nipsey Hussle was amazing. The music was loud. It was powerful. It was moving. I was tearing up. I'm not going to hold you. I was crying in there. I saw YG. YG was just drinking Patron straight out of the bottle. I saw him crying in there. A lot of other LA rappers. You know, I remember doing some content outside of Staples Center thanking Nipsey Hussle for that Victory Lap album. If you're not familiar with that Victory Lap album, and if you're a hip-hop head, go listen to it. There's just a lot of good motivational tracks on there for hustlers, for whatever it is that you do. Had to take me down memory lane with that drop. You know, I'm prolific, so gifted. I'm the type that's gone, go get it. No kidding. Anyway, let's get back to it. So I was doing my open, and I didn't even get halfway through, but we've got plenty of time tonight, but let's go backwards a little bit. We were talking about Tyron Smith to the Jets. That's confirmed. I mean, as a Dallas Cowboys fan, when they drafted this guy out of USC, he was so young, and he's still not old. Like, I think he's played 13 years in the league. I think he's 33, but he was an NFL starter at age 20. And he played with Romo, he played with Dak, but honestly, he played under Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones isn't going to win anything. So Jerry Jones wasted the talents of an all-world talent like Tyron Smith, and he's coming to New Jersey to block for Aaron Rodgers. And let's hope he's working out and he can stay healthy. I think that's a great signing if he stays healthy. But me, as a jaded Dallas fan, I'm like, he's a walking injury. You should draft your tackle of the future. And I think you still can. I think that's very much still on the table. But man, to get one of the best and all pro, this guy was all pro every year, to get one of the best left tackles in the league, if he's still healthy, he has lost a step a little bit, but I'm not gonna say he's the next Dwayne Brown. He's definitely better than what you got out of Dwayne Brown the last couple years, and he's younger. 877-337-6666. I think he's 33. I think Dwayne Brown was over here 38. So Rich Samini writes, it's a one-year contract for Tyron Smith that can be worth as much as $20 million with incentives. And we went from there to talk about OBJ, but it also was just reported that former Charger Mike Williams is going to meet with the Jets this upcoming week. So, I mean, Mike Williams, Odell Beckham Jr., Mike Williams is meeting with the Jets on Monday, and then he's scheduled to meet with the Panthers on Tuesday. So, more moves are coming, but if you're a Jets fan, you got to be excited about the move. So, I won't keep you waiting any longer on the phones. I will mix in stuff through the rest of the night. Trust me, we got plenty to do. But let's start with the breaking news. Let's start with the most recent headline. Multiple-time Pro Bowler from the Dallas Cowboys, who was cut by the Dallas Cowboys, Tyron Smith signs with your New York Jets. Let's go to Joe down in Neptune, New Jersey on the Fan first. Go for it, Joe.
What's up, Keith?
What's up?
Big fan. Former Monmouth County resident here. I played against you in high school. I played for Monmouth Regional. So, you know, always nice to support local talent, local legends on the radio, you know.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely. I just wanted to talk about Tyron, and I think that signing him, I know you, as a Dallas fan, you're a little biased about how it's going to turn out, but I think the fact that Aaron gets rid of the ball so quick will help with that. You know, he doesn't have to necessarily be locked up on the line for so long. And I also think that frees up the 10 pick to really, I mean, they could go lineman at 10 still, but I think it also frees it up to kind of, you know, do what they want to do.
Yeah, I was just in the control room talking to Connor Green, who I call Connor Gang Green because he's a Jets fan. And I'm like, yo, if Rome Odunze is there at 10,
exactly,
that's the pick.
Or Brock Bowers. Or even Brock Bowers.
I don't know about a tight end, but I know he's a dynamic tight end. I don't know about a tight end because
a different breed, I feel like. He's like one of these like Gronk type guys who are like just difference makers. I know there's like the regular old tight ends you got out there, that's CJ Uzomas and these boys, but like,
no, they cut CJ, or they're gonna cut ties with CJ. But you have Jeremy Ruckert, who you drafted a couple years ago, and you have Tyler Conklin. So
I like Conk.
To reach for a tight end at 10 when it's not a need, like it's not like you're filling in a blank right away. Like you have two starting tight ends, so even when you go double tight ends, like I wouldn't draft a tight end that early, especially when last year the best rookie tight end was Sam Laporta, and he got drafted after Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah. Well, I'm just excited for this move, and I think that the reason they haven't signed a wide receiver yet is because of this Tyron Smith deal. I think they wanted to, like, they had this money, like, set aside, like, we have to figure this out before we make moves in other situations.
Yeah, it's priority.
Like, let's say they bring in, exactly, so let's say they bring in a Mike Williams or I don't know who else, the Tyler Boyd, whoever they're looking at, T. Higgins. What do you think about the 10 pick? Like, I don't think they'd still go Rome Odunze, you know, I don't know if they'd go receiver at 10 if they brought in a, you know, even Odell as like a wide receiver 3, I'm excited about the options at 10.
Yeah, I think you go best player available, not Will McDonald type, but like you go best player available.
And if one of the tackles is there, just pull the trigger on.
And I do believe in taking your tackle of the future, right? Because it's insurance for Tyron Smith's injury.
Especially if Ault's there. I don't know if he's going to be there, but if he's sitting there, I would absolutely pull the trigger on that.
Ault has so much hype, and he has the bloodline from his father being an NFL tackle. I think he's good as gone. But, man, if...
But the kid from Penn State, the kid from Oregon State.
If Olu Fashanu is there, or Talaiz Fuanga, you know, Penn State, Oregon State, you have an opportunity to use that 10 pick on reinforcements. And last year, and even the year before, the Jets' line was banged up, and you're looking at different configurations of the line. You want to have depth. You want to have iron sharpen iron. You want to have these monsters. And if you add a young monster that can learn from Tyron Smith this season?
Yep. Especially because most of these guys are on like 1 or 2 year deals. So it's like to bring in the young kid and let them learn and let them get into that role when these guys, you know, go when they go their separate ways or whatever happens.
Yeah, right now Tankathon has the Jets at 10 taking Talaiz Fuanga out of Oregon State.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing a lot too.
And now they have Joe Ault dropping the 7. And since the Chargers have released Mike Williams and they lost Keenan Allen, this is new. They have Malik Nabers going to the Chargers at 5. And Rome Odunze going to the Giants at 6. Thanks for the call, Joe. That gives me an opportunity to talk about the G-Men. I loved how Drew Locke got on the microphone and in front of cameras and cleaned all that up. Believe none of what you hear and half of what you see, especially on the internet. I don't know what to believe, but I do honestly believe that the Giants do not love Daniel Jones, and they also don't believe that Daniel Jones is going to be healthy. Who was the first one on the fam months ago giving you the calculations, doing the quick math? 314 days, right? I did the math that 313 days is the time that it took Kyler Murray to return from his ACL surgery to the field. So if I applied that same math to Daniel Jones, 314 days would be October 1st of 2024. So you mean to tell me that he's going to be 2 months ahead of Kyler Murray's rehab pace? And why would I say 2 months ahead? Because he's got to be ready for camp in August. He's got to be ready to go August 1st. You can't have a guy, no, I think they know, you know, I know, we all know. And that gives me an opportunity to talk about J.J. McCarthy. Now, no matter what you think about J.J. McCarthy, if they love him, they love him. And what I was saying way before J.J. McCarthy rose up the charts and rose up the draft boards was you got to trust Brian Daboll. You got to trust that that offensive mastermind knows what he's looking at and that he's seen enough football to see a guy and say, yeah, I can work with that. I can mold that. This guy's got the size, pause. He's got the arm strength. He's coming from Michigan. They just went undefeated. They're national champions. He just won a championship. Pro-style offense. Oh, his head coach, his former head coach is in the NFL now. If what we're reading is true, and the Giants actually do love J.J. McCarthy, go ahead and take him at six. I know I've been on record as well as saying that taking J.J. McCarthy at six feels like reaching for Daniel Jones at six. But J.J. McCarthy is not Daniel Jones. He's playing in the Big Ten for Michigan. They just won the national championship. I mean, you saw them beat Bama. Like, he's not Daniel Jones. And this is a kid that went to IMG Academy. Like, hear me clear. If that is the guy that they want, you have to trust that they know better than we do, and they have a plan for him. And when he comes in here, Brian Daboll is going to take care of the kid and make sure they get the kid right. So Connor Hughes, Monmouth Hawks, Connor Hughes is the man. He kills it for SNY covering the Jets and Giants. He reported that J.J. McCarthy is the player that the Giants want. The quote says, league sources spoke highly of McCarthy when polled by SNY. One high-ranking executive said he'll be a better pro than college player. Another general manager said he has everything teams look for: size, athleticism, arm strength, accuracy, played in a pro-style offense, and added he's very coachable. Joseph in Las Vegas, you're back on the Fan.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. I got till 2 a.m. We're going to talk about everything.
That's great. It's funny. You switched to the Giants as I was calling in because I'm diehard Giants. So I actually agree with you on the J.J. McCarthy thing. It did seem like a reach just because the mock drafts didn't have him so low. But as they're actually meeting with him and seeing what he can do, and I mean, they do private workouts and stuff. And a lot of that, you know, you're not going to see your regular mock drafts change that much. But when they actually meet with him, they seem like they loved him. I personally want Jaden Daniels, but that's not happening. So
yeah,
Jaden
Daniels may go number two.
I think so.
And the Giants might have to face him. You know, they might have to face him this year. Did you see what the Minnesota Vikings did?
Yeah, they traded down. They traded in. They traded with the Texans. Yep.
You got to watch out for them. Because
they're
trying to come in and get their quarterback. Who? What quarterback are they looking at?
McCarthy.
Right.
Mm-hmm, yep, totally McCarthy. I mean, and it's funny because even Harbaugh said that McCarthy was the best quarterback that's ever played for Michigan. Tom Brady played for Michigan. I know he's not better, but he's saying that McCarthy was a better college quarterback than Brady.
Yeah,
which, I mean,
Tom Brady became Tom Brady. Tom Brady at Michigan was not Tom Brady. Tom Brady lost reps to Drew Henson, former Dallas Cowboys legend Drew Henson.
Exactly.
And didn't Drew Henson play for the Yankees?
I believe he did, actually. I'm a Yankees fan. That definitely rings a bell.
Yeah, he did.
But it's crazy. I really do, because I'm in the boat of if you could trade down, you get Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's the best player in the draft.
No, the Giants can't get Marvin Harrison Jr.
They're not going to do it. That's not going to happen. It's just a pipe dream.
It's a foregone conclusion. The Cardinals officials during the draft were literally talking about how they can't wait to work with. That's why Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't even show up to the combine, not the draft, because it's like, it's a foregone conclusion that at four, they're not moving. They moved on from Marquise Brown. I'm talking about the Cardinals. They moved on from Rondale Moore. I made a joke the other night that Marvin Harrison is going to get 300 targets. Thanks for the call, Joseph. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Joey in East Setauket. on the Fan. What's up, Joe?
Yo, KM to the AM. What's good, my man?
Hanging out, watching Baylor, Iowa State. I should get that off the TV. And, you know, reading through articles and news and talking sports.
Bro, I got to tell you, as I sit here and I was waiting to get picked up, I was like, jumped on my phone and went through your Instagram. Dude, also saw the Twitter page, your little poster back there. Flex it hard, buddy.
Yeah, because, you know, like, people talk crazy online, so I flex on them, Flex Friday. I just flex on them and let them know, like, I'm 6'2", 205. I'm not the one. I'm really not. Like, sometimes people get really bold online and say crazy things, and I'm like, yeah, I never met any of you guys outside. I never met any of you characters in real life. In real life, people are just like, yo, Keith, what's up? Can I get a picture with you? I'm like, yeah, of course.
Bro, that's fantastic. Yo, so listen, the reason I called in was OBJ, my dude can go do Dancing with the Stars.
Or he's with the Kardashians right now.
Show, but please, please keep him away from our locker room.
No, no, you don't want to add another clown to the circus?
Nah, no, please, 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 please.
You don't want to bring him back like home to MetLife?
No, thank you. No, thank you.
He used to light up MetLife.
Dude, I've never seen a guy literally feel like he built his career around a catch.
Yeah,
a single
I was at
catch.
That
I'll
game, too.
I'll never forget it, that one-handed catch.
I was at that game.
Upside down.
The Cowboys won that game. Dez caught it. the catch was Dez catching the touchdown pass from Tony Romo, not that one-handed catch. But, yeah, man. I'm right there with you. Thanks for the call, Joey. Yeah, and you can find me online at Keith McPherson, TikTok. Maybe I'll fire up the live TikTok so you can see me. Instagram, Twitter. It's just crazy. I was telling Paulie, like, I got dragged into the Aaron Rodgers political nonsense. And I'm like, bro, the way people talk, like, well, Keith McPherson sucks. Who's Keith McPherson? And I'm just like, bro, relax. Other people are like, yeah, this guy's terrible. I hate this guy's show. This guy's going to be a former host on The Fan. I'm like, yeah, you guys are smoking. Put one in the air on a Friday. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about it. New York sports, the New York Knicks, OG and Anobi. Oh, no. He says he's going to play, but the injury bug in this city, it is consistent. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'm now watching the Yankees. No more Baylor versus Iowa State. I have the Yankee game on in here, but I listened to it tonight because, I don't know, I work at The Fan. I love Susan and Ricky and Jack Candy Maldonado and E-Man down there, and that was the first broadcast tonight, and we're going to have a bunch of more broadcasts coming up. It's spring training for everybody, and they got their feet wet a little bit tonight. And E-Man and Shaq will get their opportunity to sit in with Susan. And don't be surprised if you hear my voice on one of the broadcasts. I'm heading down there next Wednesday. And in Yankee land, talking to all the Yankee fans, I swear I talk to like 30 different Yankee fans a day. And not just in the Bleacher Creature chat, which has more than 30 people in it, but my boy Matt with the stats from MLB Network. We were chatting today, and he brings to my attention something that I'm just like, here we go. He says, yo, you can use this on The Fan if you want. I said, of course I will. And Matt, this is a suffering Yankees fan who is a stat guy at MLB Network, and he doesn't miss a beat, and he hasn't forgotten anything. I forget a lot of things with the Yankees, but for every action, there's a reaction. For every move, there's another move. Or every move that you don't make, someone else makes. So follow me here, Yankee fans. He said the Yankees have wasted Judge and Cole's primes by cutting corners. He's already there because of the injury scare that we've wasted their primes because Cole is 33 and Judge is 32 and they're not getting any younger. He says they didn't sign Harper, who wanted to be a Yankee, or Manny Machado, who wanted to be a Yankee in 2019. They went cheap with Miguel Andujar and Clint Frazier. After 2021, instead of signing Corey Seager or Marcus Semien, or both, I added that. That's what the Rangers did, and they won a World Series doing that. He said that they wouldn't trade Volpe for Matt Olson. They added IKF and took on Josh Donaldson's contract. Instead of getting Luis Castillo, they got Frankie Montas. And now, instead of getting Blake Snell, they're reportedly looking at Michael Lorenzen. It's a clear pattern. They don't care about winning at all. 15 years without a World Series appearance. The Royals have two. The Mets have one under the Wilpons. The Astros, who have knocked the Yankees out of the postseason four times since 2015. Yeah, I was at that 2015 wildcard game and all the rest of them. That's me adding that as well. He said they have four. The Astros have been to four. And the Astros have been to six ALCSs. He said it's pathetic. Sorry for the long text. Ran over. I said, no, I will. I'll give you credit. I'm going to use it for sure. He said the Royals, Mets, Astros all have been there more times since 2009. That's shameful, actually, for a team that brands themselves off the 27-time World Series champions. Hey, fans, come out and get your Mickey Mantle bobblehead. Come to the stadium and celebrate 25 years since the 1998 World Series champions. Got to get back. So as we were talking, he also brought to my attention, which I wasn't, I was in baby land. I usually put my son down by like 7 o'clock. So I was doing the baby bath and trying to get him to freaking relax. He brings to my attention at 6:42. He said, did you see the Ken Rosenthal report? I said, oh, I don't know. What's going on? The Houston Astros are pursuing Blake Snell. Well, of course they are. Of course they are. If you listen to me this week, I talked about Corbin Burns coming off the board. Dylan Cease coming off the board. With this scare with Gerrit Cole, we got good news. It's not Tommy John. There is no tear. But don't sit on your hands. React. You have the NL Cy Young winner who lives in Tampa, who wants to play for you, who's seeking a 3-year contract with opt-outs, like right there. So I go and read the article. And it says the Houston Astros are at it again. They talk about them signing Josh Hader, his former teammate over there in San Diego. Snell, 31, is believed to be seeking the same type of contract as Cody Bellinger and Matt Chapman. 3-year deal, 2 opt-outs. And then it talks about the Astros situation. I'm already sure in my mind that this is going to happen. The Astros need to add another starting pitcher because Jose Urquidy pulled himself from a minor league game. You already know Justin Verlander is on the IL with shoulder inflammation. Mets fans rooting for him to not pitch, 140 innings? Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia are still recovering from elbow surgeries. Not expected back until the All-Star break. Jim Crane is willing to sign Snell for $30 million to $32 million. And I don't even want to read the rest of the article. It's in The Athletic with Ken Rosenthal. Don't be surprised if Blake Snell is on the Houston Astros. And who has been standing in the way of your New York Yankees from getting back to a World Series? The Houston Astros, who now want to spend. 877-337-6666. Jay is in Fort Lee. Jay, you're on the fan.
Yeah, you rock my thunder, baby. That's what I was calling about. I saw it a couple hours ago on CBS and New York Post. I mean, first of all, Keith, man, I really appreciate you. I dig you, man. You tell it like it is, like Howard Cosell would say it. You're appreciate a Yankee fan, diehard, but you're not, like, taking, you know, sipping the coffee. I mean, the guy that comes after you, I bang my head against the wall. I said, come on. When I saw that report
Pete
tonight.
Hoffman? C-Mac, you know, is off tonight, but C-Mac.
Well, you know what I'm saying,
I know.
Man.
C-Mac's, I mean, position on the Yankees. He's a little older than I am. I think he... I love C-Mac. I think he lives more on the side of, like, you guys are nuts. The Yankees are one of the greatest franchise ever. And I'm like, yeah, they were. Like, that's true. They were. But, like what have you done for us lately? Like, right now, man, we got to get back. Go for it,
Keith,
Jay.
Keith, look at the Astros roster. Look at the Yanks. And you tell me that the Astros aren't saying themselves, hey, man, our stars are getting older. Let's go get one more. And they, I mean, some of these guys are coming back in July. Verlander's going to come. We've seen Verlander come back before from being injured and light it up. We've seen, they're going to, McCullers, all right, maybe he's out. But they got a bunch of guys, man.
You're going to see, you know, in the 10, 12 days how we do against their pitching. We always struggle against their. I mean, dude, I'm sick of it. I'm so glad you're telling it like it is. You know, you work for the Yankees, and yet you tell it like it is.
Yeah, because I don't care. That's the thing. And I'm like, I was talking to my boy Matt about it. He was applauding me on the fan. I'm like, I'm a fan first, bro. I was way deep in this before I ever thought I'd get the opportunity to speak on this mic. I was going to Yankee Stadium. I was doing all this stuff. I was in the bleachers. I was posting online. All this. I've been following this team my entire life. I never actually thought I was going to get to host on the fan. So what am I supposed to do
I'm
now?
I'm glad you
come
did,
in here
brother.
And be
I'm
like,
glad
ugh.
You did, bro.
Like, no, I just can't.
Yo,
I gotta keep it
100. Bro, I got to lay some numbers on you, man. Now, first of all, I go back to Mantle and Ford. My first game, I saw Ford against Louis Tiant.
Wow.
That's how far I go back to the original stadium. Been to all the World Series and postseasons. Been to close to 1,000 games in my
awesome.
Life, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I just looked it up. I used Statista and another site. The Yankees, because of what they did in 17, you know, with the baby bombers, and they thought Cashman's a genius, we didn't have to spend a lot of money. You look at their payroll in 18 and 19 compared to what their revenue was, they were cleaning up. 683 in 19, $683 million, and they were only spending 168.
I've been on record saying we'll never actually know how much money they really make. They
well,
make
but
money
my point is, the
fist.
Money is there. So, in other words, if George was still alive, and granted, he made a lot of mistakes and went overboard.
Chris was going in the other night about stop saying if George was alive and what George had done.
Oh, I heard C-Mac say that. I want to give him a noogie. But, you know, the thing is, man, George did a lot of things wrong, and the best thing that happened to him was he got suspended so Michael could take over.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing about George that was cool was that he didn't say to himself, if you watch the clips right after they lost the 95 playoffs with Griffey and Martinez, you know, that crushing loss, they interviewed George on national TV. He goes, yeah, well, we're going to come back next year. You'll see. You'll see. He was really,
yeah.
I don't think George worried about like, hey, we're losing money next year if I spend that much.
Because winning is the only thing. Winning cures all. Thanks for the call, Jay. That's the thing about me too, right? Yeah, I'm a radio host, but I'm a fan. George was a fan. And I know he wasn't perfect. And I know that we use that phrase too much. I never use it. If George was alive. Oh, George is rolling in his grave. But you know what I do say about Hal? Hal, don't you want your own, and rest in peace to Hank, don't you want your own World Series right now before you get old? Don't you want to just go out there and, like, you have the guys. You can add a couple more pieces for insurance. The luxury tax does not matter. What are we actually talking about? You will lose no sleep at night, but you will lose sleep at night if this drought goes on to 18 years and matches the longest drought in history and then turns to 20 and 25. And then before you know it, generations change. Man, these kids, like, I talk to a lot of these young kids on the internet, and it's nuts. These kids don't remember 2009. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday about how it blows my mind that in 2009, it was the first year I could legally drink. And I hate myself at times for not going to that parade because I could have legally been drunk in the bars, partying. But you know what I did? I was a good student and a teammate and a college student athlete. And I went to class and went to practice like I was supposed to and read the papers and saw whatever they had online about it. And in my head thought, oh, there'll be more. I'll graduate. I'll work in the city. My brother's up there in the city. I'll go visit him. We'll go to the parades. There'll be at least 3, 4, 5 parades in the next 15 years. It's been 15 years. It's been zero. And we can't act like baseball is just like there's just that much parity. It's that much of a crapshoot. You're the New York Yankees. You have every resource, asset. You have the deep fan base. You have home field advantage. You do hit on generational players like an Aaron Judge. But you got to stack the deck. And my nightmare right now is like where we are right now. Judge is hurt. Cole is hurt. Stanton is over the hill with that contract. DJ, we don't know what he's going to be. It's like these guys get old again. We just did this. I just talked about being at the 2015 wildcard game. Masahiro Tanaka versus Dallas Keuchel. And that was the end of the A-Rod, Teixeira, Beltran, Brian McCann, those guys were getting up there in age. How did the time fly? We're about to be 10 years from that next season. I don't know. I'm excited for this year, Yankee fans, and you should be. I'm pumped up to see what they have because I do believe they have a way better lineup than they had last year. And I also do believe that they have some young pitching. Even though they sent a lot away, they sent it away because they know what they have in Will Warren, Chase Hampton, Clayton Beter, Luis Gil, who, if you listen to the broadcast, I think Susan was saying the Yankees felt like what he did against the Phillies this past week was the best pitching performance out of anyone this spring. And we saw him be dominant 2 years ago before he got hurt and needed Tommy John. He's going to be ready. And maybe they give the nod to Luke Weaver or Cody Poteet or something like that. But, I mean, they've got some young arms waiting in the wings that we might see this year. And if Cole's not ready to go, that's fine. They got to pick up the slack. It's a team. 877-337-6666. I still do want to talk Jets and Giants. We will. But, man, another thing I had in my notes as I was looking at the schedule, right? They're expecting Cole back in June, let's say. Fingers crossed. I celebrated it today. Like, yeah, we'll have Cole back when it's 80 degrees. Well, we hope. Because when June comes at the stadium, you got the Los Angeles Dodgers coming to town June 7th, 8th, 9th. And that series is already being sold out because those are all night games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It is going to be rocking. All of the Shohei fans that come out will be there. All of the West Coast people that are going to fly across the country to see their team. You know how hyped up they're going to be, and we're going to be hyped up too. Maybe Cole will be back by then. And then the next series, June 18th, 19th, you have the Baltimore Orioles. Let me go to the schedule. I think I said earlier in the week that last week or 2 weeks ago I was at the game and I was talking to Evan Roberts. And Evan Roberts, he's just a baseball brain. He's just got a different brain in general. He already knows, like, he knows the Mets. He knows the Mets schedule. He knows the Mets opponents. He could just rattle off at least the first month in series. I know the Yankees are playing in Houston, playing in Arizona, coming home facing the Blue Jays, but that's it. But in my notes, I was writing, like, if Cole is back for June and these games that we have, the homestands that we have come June, like, this is going to be it. There can't be a June swoon. Absolutely not. Because you have the tough competition coming through. I mean, not for nothing, the Twins are going to be there too before we get to the Dodgers. So you've got three against the Twins. They won their division last year. They're going to be trying to compete. You've got the 4th, 5th, 6th with the Twins at home. Then that weekend, you follow that up with the Dodgers, the 7th, 8th, 9th. Then the 18th, 19th, 20th, you have the 101-win Baltimore Orioles. And then the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, you have the Atlanta Braves. And not to mention, right after that, the Subway Series, 877-337-6666. It'll be here soon.
World Series over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Are we on that Friday vibe? Friday night, New York City, it's warm out. Like, I pulled up in a t-shirt tonight. I like this. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's get it. My Casamigos big shot of the night coming up next. Once we get inside the 11 o'clock hour, we were just talking about the Yankees and Blake Snell potentially signing with the Houston Astros. Bum, bum, bum. Of course, right? Of course. If you don't want him, if you don't want to go get him, he's going to end up on the team that literally stops you from getting to the World Series. 877-337-6666. And as we talk about Gerrit Cole and we talk about when he's going to return, I just kind of leaned into the June schedule. Yankee fans, start looking at your schedules. It's that time of year. Start thinking about what's on. Like, they have to be healthy and right by June, and it would certainly help our cause to have Gerrit Cole ready to go and ready to pitch during that time. Along the lines of Gerrit Cole, Eric Bolin just put out an article, and he quote tweeted his own article saying, "Relief, yes, that Cole doesn't appear to need surgery at the moment, but that doesn't mean the Yankees organization is relieved." In quotes, "What if he can't pick up a ball 3 weeks from now, a month from now? We still really don't know exactly what the hell we're dealing with." Yeah, that makes me feel fantastic. Like, if that's how you feel, go get reinforcements. If that's how you feel, like, I don't know, man. I'm not an owner. I'm not a GM. I'm just a fan. But if I heard that the Houston Astros were potentially now interested in Blake Snell, I would try to get him to keep away. And usually it's the Yankees for clicks, right? Scott Boras likes to use Yankees for clicks to drive up interest. I mean, the Yankees offered this guy. And they offered him 6 years. Now he's looking for a contract half with a little bit more money. Man, so what? You need reinforcements. I know you trust your young guys, but you don't trust your young guys against the Astros in the ALCS. It's nuts to think that the Yankees are going to rest on their laurels, stick with the process. Just, you know, stay with their plan that they had in place. Cole will be back. Cole will be back, but you have no idea what version of Cole will be getting. You are now without your ace. You need another guy that can, like, be dominant. And we don't know if any of these other four guys can be dominant or stay healthy.
Yeah, no, it's a weird spot the Yankees are in. And I wonder what based on the Ken Rosenthal report tonight, with possibly the Astros being interested in Blake Snell, would the Yankees fans want to sign Blake Snell because they value him, or legit only to make sure he's not on Houston?
Both.
Isn't that crazy?
We value him, right? We don't want to face him. And also, we could use a guy like that with Cole being in flux right now.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Like, I don't know.
It's exactly like the Josh Hader stuff. Because they signed Josh Hader. Yankees, obviously, every team should be interested in Josh Hader. And the Astros got him.
Supposedly the Dodgers were. Supposedly the Yankees were. Josh Hader went on foul territory and said, I heard a little bit from the Dodgers, little from the Yankees, but ultimately it was the Houston Astros who were serious about signing him. Another note that I had, not Yankee related, I missed this in my open about the Jets. Ian Rappaport said that Jadeveon Clowney is going to visit the Jets on Tuesday. I think Jadeveon Clowney is a guy that was another Raven. You just brought a couple Ravens over here on the offensive line. I mean, this guy was a top pick, a monster. He still got it. I mean, he made himself some money getting the incentives in his deal, getting that sack total that he had last year. Add Jadeveon Clowney to that already dominant defense and defensive line. I think that'd be a good look. Let's go to Mario out in Long Beach before we go to break. Mario, go.
Well, what's happening, Keith?
You know, out Friday night. This is my third Friday night in a row, and I'm happy that we have all this time because I got a lot to talk about.
Nice. I have a quick question for you. Very interesting. I listened to your story about how hard you worked to get where you got, especially in the media, you know, in sports. And then when you talk about your football life, you said you didn't really hit it the same way. If you hit that with the same thrust that you did the other, where do you think you'd be in football? You think you would have had a shot?
Oh, I think I would have been able to figure it out, yeah. And I am 100% honest about it. I even was having this conversation as I'm looking at my son, and I'm like, he might be athletic. He's already got some energy and some bounce in his legs. And I'm like, I'm talking to him. I'm like, at least you got a dad, bro. At least you got me. Like I didn't have my dad growing up, and God bless my mother. But, like, my mother didn't go to college. She didn't know what I was doing I remember coming home to her when Hofstra offered me, and she just kind of was like, you got a scholarship offer from Hofstra? Like, okay, what does that mean? And like, congrats. But I'm like, I'm going to play football in college. What I'll say about myself is I had the drive and work ethic in high school to get to the point where I was, you know, all state, all shore. We won the state championship. I got scholarships. But I also was straight edge. I didn't drink. I didn't party at all, because I knew I had to get out of my situation, and that would have put my situation in jeopardy. Well, I went to college, and there's a 0% chance that you're not going to drink. I remember going on my first visit to JMU, and I was a sober kid, and the football players are like, you're not going to mess up our party being sober. They literally made me drink, and then that sent me down a spiral of substance abuse, partying, prioritizing girls and getting drunk and not really caring about football as much while I was at JMU. And then when I left JMU, I did the same thing at Monmouth. Like, I was athletic enough that I could play football with some of the best of them hungover. I could party the whole night and go to lifting in the morning, running in the morning. But like, if I actually applied the things that I learned once I matured and I got older, which, you know, got me here when I was young, I just didn't have it. I had no guidance. I had no knowledge. You got to grow up. I was very immature. I had athleticism. But like, I, you know, once I got a taste of a bunch of distractions in college, I was completely distracted. It took me 5.5 years to graduate. And I played with a lot of guys that went to the league. And I also changed positions. I went in as a quarterback. And then when I transferred schools, I started playing receiver. So I started learning how to catch punts and kickoffs and playing slot and playing X. And I don't know. I really do in my mind think if I really tried, I could have done it. I gave my scholarship back my 5th year because I knew I wanted to focus on getting out of school and being in radio and television. And yeah, so as you saw that with me talking about my journey in my career when I was doing social media here in the city and I quit those jobs to get to the radio, if I knew how to channel my thoughts and focus and energy and block things out and really lock in and not be drinking and partying and stuff like that when I was 18, 19, 20, 21 in college, yeah, maybe I would have got a chance to play, I don't know, even like get an invite to a camp, practice squad, some kind of professional football. But no, that wasn't the path that, you know, I ended up going on.
Yeah, but it turned out pretty good for you. Do you sometimes look at some players and say, I'm just as good as that? Do you ever look at that?
No, I never do that. I actually look at guys and I say, I know what those guys had that I didn't have. They were freaks. Like, I could talk about a bunch of, I've done it on a, I've mentioned a bunch of different guys that I've played with that I'm just like, no, I know the difference. I was a degenerate. I did not have the right headspace. I was focused on other things. I just was on a free ride, partying, drinking, you know, skipping class, going to practice, and yeah, just not taking it seriously. Thanks for the call, Mario. Sorry. Call us back. I know you wanted to talk Jets, Yankees, but we're up against it. Keith McPherson on the fan. We got a break. BRB.